If you follow baseball, you know that a pitcher can pitch a perfect game, and I guess you can do the same in bowling, but those things are only perfect by certain standards of those games. There is a perfect homily. Well, maybe not. And I know that over the years after God Squad's men's conferences, my wife will sometimes say, "So when am I going to see this perfect husband?" I think I'm managing to work at that. I just keep saying it's a work in progress, dear. But Jesus is the master of exaggerating for effect. It's maybe just about another log in your eye, or cutting off your hand, or hating your mother and father, right? That's just Jesus being shocking on purpose. Bishop McCaig said last evening that it was shocking when Jesus declared that everyone must be righteous, more righteous than the Pharisees, to enter heaven. On the other hand, I think we might be more surprised if he wasn't shocking. And we always have a choice, don't we? We can assume he doesn't really mean it in that way, or we can take him seriously. Today, the message that we have that choice on is that you must be perfect. And he gives an example. Don't just love your friends, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. Well, we certainly have ideas about being perfect. There are people who are called just that, perfectionists. I learned a long time ago that there are two kinds of perfectionists. One kind demands so much of themselves that they just simply give up because it's too hard. But if they don't give up, they live the stressful life of having to do everything perfectly. Many of these people can do it pretty well for a long time, but often end up with stress-related illnesses or maybe self-medicating. Perfect means that nothing is missing or lacking. Maybe Jesus is just setting an impossible goal that we can't possibly achieve so that we will recognize this and be humble. Modern motivational theory has a way of looking at the perfectly successful life. You can be rich. You can be and do anything if you want to. You just have to eliminate negative self-talk. Believe in yourself. Take action and stop procrastinating. Do what successful people do. A lot of these ideas sound attractive, don't they? I've been attracted to them myself, listening to hours of podcasts which tell me how to achieve that perfect formula for success and wealth and happiness. But for the Christian person, there's a big problem there. How can I be perfect when every single day I show myself unable to eliminate the sin from my life? Every day I show myself a victim of the fallen human tendency to behave badly. How am I ever going to be perfect when my sin made his cross necessary? I put him there. We put him there because we couldn't save ourselves, from our imperfection, from the devastating effects of sin, right here in our own hearts and lives. The Israelite people had to deal with the same issue. And what's the message they were told? Walk in his ways and obey him. Walk in the ways of the perfect one, the holy God. Observe his commands with all your heart and all your soul. Is there a greater perfection that we can give than our entire heart and soul? But it goes on. Be a people holy to the Lord. Be high above the nations in your holiness. Be a sign to everyone around that we worship the God of perfect love, perfect judgment, but also perfect mercy. And this was an echo from Leviticus. You shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. Talk about shocking. They would no longer be required to appease and satisfy the self-centered gods of other nations, but they were to become like the God who truly is God. Perfect in all ways. The psalmist says that if you do this, you will be happy, which doesn't mean happy stoned like we can do legally now. It means blessed by God. Happy are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. Happy are those who follow his decrees, who seek him with their whole heart. I head to Jesus again. You must be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. What do we know about that Father? Philip asked what we maybe sometimes ask, show us the Father. And Jesus said to Philip, Philip, have I been with you all this time and you don't know that to have seen me is to have seen the Father? So our Lord and Savior tells us that he is the perfect image of the Father, the very one with whom Jesus tells us to identify. St. Paul thought a lot about how to do this. Last night, Jeff Cavins told us at the beginning of our God Squad Men's Conference, it's not too late to register for today if you haven't, that to be a disciple of a certain rabbi or teacher, you had to be willing to mold yourself, to become like that teacher. So Paul worked hard to express this disciple's reality. Our life is different in Christ. The cross changes us. It is no longer I who live, he says, but Christ who lives in me. Jesus Christ, the perfect image of the Father, moves to the center of my life. Put on Christ, Paul says. Clothe yourselves in Christ. Before you dress every day, say, I am putting on Christ today. Today, what people will see in me is the one I follow. I am his disciple. I have been changed by my encounter with him. I am in a transformative relationship with the perfect one. To the Corinthians, who were prone to bad behavior, Paul says, don't you know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you? God lives in you. The cross changes you from the inside so that you want to stop living the life you've been living. Turn away from sin and believe in the gospel. Jesus, the perfect image of the Father, gives himself totally for you and I. That's what it means when he says, this is my body and blood given for you. How could we deserve that if we weren't perfect? Truth is, you know, brothers and sisters, we cannot deserve it. And yet, we are invited every day to live in the knowledge that to receive Christ is to receive that perfection into our very being. Every Eucharist, we bring our imperfect offering to the altar. And what does he do? He transforms it again and again and again into the perfect offering of himself, which we receive, and then we bring to the world. He never stops doing that, even though I can't possibly deserve it on my own. Our God Squad theme this weekend is, do not be afraid to be a saint. John tells the early Christians, there is no fear in love. Perfect love drives out fear. What does it mean to be a saint? To be a saint is to have died to the imperfect self and be reborn to perfection in Christ, to be a saint. I still love the God Squad story, and many of you know it, of course. Over 20 years ago, some Calgary police officers didn't think, oh, well, we got to do something to make a perfect world or even a perfect Calgary. But they did see things on the mean streets of Calgary that inspired them to do something. They had to do something. And over 20 years later, we're here today, still listening to the message of how to do that. One of the messages that comes through to men who attend our conferences is that Jesus wants you to experience perfect freedom from whatever it is that holds you prisoner. Will you accept that personal, that perfect freedom? It's not something unattainable. It's what you were made for. Perfection in Christ. Loving with Christ. Living through Christ. Even if it means loving our enemies. Today, many men will line up and offer their imperfections to a priest. In return, they will receive, in the sacrament of reconciliation, perfect forgiveness. Every day, God does indeed make perfection in him possible. There's only one question. Will we let ourselves be transformed into that perfection? Do not be afraid. It is what you were made for.